This has really been an interesting week for me. There's certain things that move with the Spirit that in my personal life of things that have been going on that are outside of the ordinary of things, even spiritually. And one of the things that I really took an effort in this past week is spending a lot of time in prayer this past week. And so there's things I wanted to pray about and talk to the Lord about. And I wanted to, so I spent a lot of time over, not just praying, but spent from this me talking. See, a lot of people think prayer is just me talking or you talking. Is listening to God, is spending time of listening. Spend a lot of time when I pray too, I sit down and go through the Word. And one of the things that he spoke to me about this week, it's been coming to me lately here, and I hadn't done it. And he told me to go over and read Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a very exciting book. It's what people just love to sit down and read, you know. But there's a lot of great wisdom in the book of Jeremiah that'll keep you out of trouble. And you can find out how God deals with things. You know, one of the things is God don't change. And God's dealing with things and sin and people. And when people don't follow God, one of the things in Jeremiah, which is said that God told Israel, their great fault, and he mentions it more than one time, their great fault, what was it that caused the destruction of Jerusalem? He said it wasn't, they were at the temple doing sacrifices. They were doing all the stuff. But he said this, he said, when I told your fathers and brought them out of Egypt, he said, I judged them, he said, not because they didn't sacrifice, I judged them because they didn't obey my commandments and the things I told them to do, they didn't obey them. And see, we need to understand, judgment comes, and it has never changed. Judgment comes when people disobey the Word of God. It isn't because they don't go to church, they don't do things. Judgment comes because people disobey the Word. They bring judgment on themselves. They do it to themselves. You know, if you're disobedient to God, God don't have to send a bolt of lightning to hit you. You'll do it. You disobey God, you'll bring the lightning to you. You'll go out and you'll put a lightning rod on your head and walk around out in the world and wait till the devil strikes it. And see, as people need to know, see, as we don't follow the Word, and he told them, these things came because you were disobedient. That's why, you know, here, man, I'm a stickler concerning the Word of God, that we obey what God's saying and obey what God's doing and walk in what God's doing. That's what brings the blessing. That's what brings the blessing. When they follow the Word, the blessing comes. And I don't know about you. People say, I don't serve God for things or stuff or things. I do. We serve God to be blessed. God's the blesser. He told Israel, if you obey the commandments and do all I tell you to do, he said, you know, you'll be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. He talked about how their bread baskets would be full and all this kind of stuff. We serve God to be blessed. I don't know what some people serve God for. You know, we have today is one of the things is today is the, we're looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, this is the focus of most of the church world. Some of the churches, I don't know why they look at that for, because they don't believe really in it. They talk about it, but is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why was Jesus resurrected from the dead? Was it for him? Was it to bless him? Did he need something? He didn't have enough power, probably. That's what it was. So he had to, you know, he just had to prove to people that he could defeat Satan. He just had to prove that. Jesus did nothing in his death, burial, and resurrection. He did nothing in coming to this earth that had to do with him. Nothing. Not one thing had to do with him. It was all about humanity. What's the outcome of this thing? What is the outcome? We can sit and cheer Jesus' resurrection and Satan rule our lives. What was it for? What did he do it for? Who was it for? What was it for? See, people get all excited. We'll go out in a cemetery. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, they'll do a service, and you know, the resurrection. And there's one thing is I believe most people today in the church world, they don't believe their body's going to get resurrected one day. They're treating this body like they're trying to keep it alive forever now. Well, in its state, it's not gonna, so get over it. This thing's going to, as it stays is now, it will croak. Now, there is things we can do spiritually that'll help us in this time to keep it running well while we're here. But glory to God, you know, when there's a day coming that this old suit is going to be taken off and a new one's going to be put on, and I'm excited about that. I don't want to drag this one into eternity. This thing stinks. This death dooms thing has been nothing but a drag on my life. And it's a drag on your life. So don't get so attached to it. People get too attached to their flesh. Don't get so attached to it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There ain't anybody in heaven today is wishing they could put the old flesh back on again. There's nobody there saying, boy, I wish. You know, we'd like to think they'd all like to come back here and be here. They don't want to be here. You get to heaven, you don't want to be here. You won't be here. People are fighting to stay here. I'm ready to get out. I'm ready to go. You know, Dr. Kenneth Hagin's whole ministry was to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And the church has been fighting not to get ready to go. They're trying to stay. I'll tell you what, I'm ready to go. If you're not ready to go, you won't live for him while you're here. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Because I tell you what, I'm going to live in this earth like the lion of the tribe of Judah in these last days. I'm going to live. Hallelujah. I'm going to live like the church is called to live in these last days. Hallelujah. All I heard all my Christian life, even before my Christian, when I was back in church again, well, we got to walk and we got to live like Jesus. You got to live like Jesus. And anything the church don't want to do is live like Jesus lived. They'll try to talk you right out of it. Don't be victorious. Don't heal the sick, raise the dead. Don't do none of that stuff. We're not called to do that, but live like Jesus. Well, the only picture we have of Jesus is in the Bible, and all I see him is victorious over everything. That's all I see him. Hallelujah. Well, see, we're told to live like him, and then on the other hand, they said, don't you dare do it. Because we'll call you down on it as soon as you try to start it. Don't try to do it. Hallelujah. There's a glorious church. There's a glorious church. And the glorious church is not going to be known in these last days for its glory, for how many people it feeds. It's not even listed in the Bible what Jesus even did. We know he gave to the poor, but we don't. What it emphasized is the glory of God working through him. The glory of God that worked through the disciples. The glory of God that manifests itself. That's the picture it's given. The soup lines aren't in the Bible. That's the glory of the church today. I'm not against feeding poor people. But if you're going to feed poor people and not have the glory, we don't even need to be here. We have no need to be here. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We can shout and scream about it, say, that's wonderful. But what does that do for humanity? What does it do for us? For the church today. In Ephesians, the apostle Paul wrote and said in the second chapter, in verses 5 and 6, he said, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We were made, this grace, what did it do? We were dead in trespasses and sin. It made us alive together with. It didn't just make us alive. It made us alive together with. You know what that speaks of? The same life that Jesus has today, I have. Or I am not alive together with. That terminology can't be used. You have been made alive together with Jesus Christ. The resurrection was about making men alive together with God. That's what it was about. Making man alive together. We're not going to one day become alive with God. We are alive with God today. Hallelujah. You're alive. I want you. Jesus' resurrection was so when you believed on Jesus Christ, so you could be made alive together with God. A complete union with Him. That is the point of grace. By grace you have been saved. Grace saved you. And it says what? Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Sitting in heavenly places in Christ. What is that all about? What does that mean? We're seated in heavenly places. Seems to me that, you know, naturally we're sitting here in this building, aren't we? Gee. You know, these are nice words, but most of the church world, most Christians have no idea of what they mean. Jesus Christ is enthroned. The Bible, he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. He told the disciples to go. We're enthroned with him. He is sitting in the seat of authority over heaven, earth, and hell. The scriptures tell us. Now, when the Bible refers to me, because, see, we don't understand this. We have what we call in America democracy. And we actually believe this, that democracy is God's thing. How's it working out, given all the idiots the vote? God has a theocracy. You know, God, there's only one, he wanted to be ruler over Israel. Israel was never in the perfect will of God, never, even during David or Solomon's reign, never was in the will of God when they asked for a king. It cost them as a nation. God always wanted to be their ruler. I'm not sure, I can't forget which president, was it John Adams? John Adams talked about democracy. He said democracy will work till men find out they can vote themselves money. And he said, and vote themselves things. And he said, democracy will be gone. Democracy is gone in America. People vote, even Christians, only vote for their own ideals and their own stuff. They don't even ask God what he wants. They don't ask. God has a plan. I don't know about you. I want to get into his plan. And God's plan, God has set in motion. In heaven, Jesus Christ is not in the earth. He's in heaven. He's not here. He is here. His presence is here by the Holy Spirit. Because having the Holy Spirit, when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Said when he comes, he's going to guide you into all the truth. But he used a terminology. He said, I'm going to pray to the Father and he's going to give you another comforter. That word another, which is actually a Greek word is used, that means, actually doesn't mean another as we use the word another. Like you said, we generally get the idea that another person should have another guy show up. No, the word another, that means one of the same kind or one is just like me. The Holy Spirit is identical to Jesus. Jesus said he won't operate under his own initiative. He'll only speak of me. He'll guide you and lead you in the truth. He'll tell you what I said. The Holy Spirit is the exact representation of Jesus Christ in the earth. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know Jesus. You can sit and talk, tell people Jesus is in your heart. How would you know if you don't know the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you, I know the Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Spirit. I know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And the more you learn, and over the years as I've learned to walk with the Holy Spirit, the more I know Jesus, the more I understand what he's like. Not just by words on a page. I understand his character. I understand things that make Jesus tick. I understand things that aggravate him because I've learned it through the Holy Spirit, things that aggravate him. The Holy Spirit gets aggravated at Christians over stuff. Things that God loves, people don't love. Many Christians don't love. They love the world and the things of the world. They love the stuff here. They love the things here. They're not loving what God loves. And so we need to go, you know, we're not trying to throw rocks at anybody, but folks, we need to get back over. What's the purpose? Back, what is the purpose? This Jesus is enthroned. We're seated with him. What's this about? That place he sit on, that throne is the throne of the authority of heaven, of earth, and under the earth. That's what that throne represents. Throne represents authority. In a kingship, every judgment and everything that was called, anything that was done in a king would go first sit on his throne, and sitting on the throne, that's where he would make his decrees, that's where whatever was judged or done, it was done. If he was going to go to war, he sat on the throne, he did it, because that was the representation of the place of authority. Jesus, we are not seated at his feet. We are seated at the throne. We are, the Bible says, you are in him. You are seated in that authority. You are seated in that place, in the earth. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter said, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. He said, my Father in heaven revealed that one to you. And he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. He didn't say whatever God binds on earth will be bound in heaven. He said, whatever you do. Why? Because the authority is going to be in man's hands. Jesus was raised from the dead, so authority was given back to man, that man becomes the ruler of the earth. Look, you need to understand, the Bible tells us, New Testament, Satan is the god of this world. And there is no god in this earth without the church. The church, whether you like it or not, call it heresy or anything, we're the god in this earth. Without us, God doesn't operate. Hallelujah. If we don't have authority, God has no authority here. He put it in the church. Glory to God. Jesus was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. For the victorious church. This assembly. Why do you think the church, the Bible makes such a big deal out of this group? What's the big deal? Because we're the ones ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. We're in Him. Hallelujah. We've let the devil get away with too much. We've sat around asking God to do. We were supposed to bind. We were supposed to loose. He said, whatever you bind on earth, heaven will get behind it. He's waiting to find out what we'll bind. He says, whatever you loose. Heaven will get behind us. You don't understand how God gives authority. God gave Adam authority over the earth. He said, I'm putting it in your hands. I'm putting it in your hands. When Adam sold it out and let the devil come in, did God say, hey, hold it, I'm taking authority back, you can't have it? If the church doesn't use the authority of the throne of God and take its place, God will do nothing. He'll watch. God will watch. God has watched in this earth. He's watched the world and people go to hell in a handbasket because the church is waiting for God to do something, and God is waiting for the victorious church to stand up and say, we're not going to allow that anymore, devil. We're bringing this thing to a stop. Devil, you ain't doing this anymore. You're not ruling. I'm going to tell you what, the devil is going to get his teeth kicked in these last days, because there is a church, right? There's a remnant church that's going to rise up and kick his butt like we have supposed to been doing and have not done it. And I'll tell you what, people are going to come into the kingdom in astronomical numbers. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus ain't coming back for an old whore that's beat up and drag it out because he can't make it. He's coming back for the victorious church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. And surely we must be able to become that. The church can't even, the church has been so downgraded by wrong preaching that we can't see ourselves and don't have our image of ourselves as being victorious and being the church without spot or wrinkle. I'll tell you what, I can see the church without spot or wrinkle. I can see it, hallelujah. I can see me in it, hallelujah. I can see me as bold as a lion, hallelujah. I can see me in it. Glory to God. See, we got to come back. This isn't just a nice little, resurrection story and Jesus is raised the dead and went to heaven and we're sitting down here just waiting, trying to get out of here. I'm going to tell you what, the devil is getting more nervous about me. Is he nervous about you? He will. I'll tell you what, you walk in your authority, he'll get nervous about you. He'll don't know if he'll want to come to your door. He'll say, let's go beat the neighbor up. Because we go over to him, it don't work out well. He won't put up with it. See, we need to walk in our place of authority. Walk in our place, hallelujah, that God has for us. Hallelujah. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Romans 6, starting in verse 5, it says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The average church you'll go into America today that says they believe in the new birth, they'll preach you're just going to sin. The Bible just gets done saying here, over the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he did, we're not slaves to sin. We're not just going to go sin. That's not us. That's the religious church. that believes sin still reigns and rules. That's the church that knows nothing about the throne. It knows nothing about the place of victory. They talk about, we sang about Jesus' victory. The thing that excites me about Jesus' victory, because it's my victory. It was for me. It was for you. It's your victory. Hallelujah. It's not for somebody else. It belongs to you. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Grace was not given so you can sin. The ability as grace is to keep you out of sin. The church today almost knows nothing about grace. They think it's just about hiding sin. No, it ain't about hiding sin. It's living in victory over it. Hallelujah. It's God working in man, doing in us what we could never do. It's God's grace. His grace is greater. You know, the old song says, grace is greater than all my sin. Not to the church today. No, sin is much greater than grace. You know, grace is just to hide our dirtiness. Grace never hid man's dirtiness. It removed it. Most of the church don't even know what salvation is. They don't even know. They don't know about the man who's in Christ who became a new creation. Old things passed away, all things become new. Verse 8, he said, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Now listen to the next verse. Likewise. Likewise what? Likewise like Christ is. What's Christ? He's been raised from the dead. He's not going to die no more. Death doesn't have dominion over him. The death that he died to sin once and for all. The life he has, he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon. The word reckon there means to count or consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. That's the church. All they've been doing in the cemeteries on resurrection morning is burying more people. That's all they do. They look at Jesus' victory and hope, and maybe one day he'll get us out of here. Hallelujah. Well, he will. I'll guarantee you. But he's only taken those who are ready for him to come. He's coming for a church. Hallelujah. One who is born again. You're supposed to consider yourself dead to sin. Death don't have dominion. He's not talking about physical death, spiritual death. Spiritual death is what ruled over man. Man lived in sin. Man lived in sin because we were dominated. I was dominated and ruled by sin. No matter how I tried to quit it, I couldn't quit it. I wanted to stop it. I was a drunk using drugs. I wanted to quit it. I still thought about doing it. I finally got to the point. I just gave up on it as a bad deal and just go ahead, go with what you got, and that's it. I know what to do about it. Death reigned over me. My thought light was reigned by death. Many Christians have got the life of God in them, but because of teaching, they live the life of death. They live with sin dominating and ruling. The thoughts of their life are messed up. They walk around, I don't know why I think like this. How can you listen to preaching that tells you you're just going to sin and have thoughts like you're going to be a good person? Hallelujah. How do you yield to grace when you think grace is only there to hide all your mess? Grace never hid the mess. It removed it. It removed the mess. Hallelujah. It didn't hide it. I remember the teaching. I used to hear believers say, well, God looks at us through the blood of Jesus. No, he does not. God can look me face to face. I've been born again. I'm not an old sinner. I have been saved by the power of God. I was an old sinner. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. The blood of Jesus Christ paid the price so I could become a child of God. God doesn't have to. We ain't going to heaven and God walks around with his blood screen in front of him because you're still an old scumbag. You're not an old scumbag. You're a child of God. You're born of God. The blood of Jesus Christ wasn't, I can't stand you, so we just got to look through you through the blood. If that was the case, we'd have been no better off than what they were. As every year, let's kill the lamb and go back to the thing. What would be the point? What was the point? What was Jesus' victory? What was it? What was it? Hallelujah. It was our victory over sin's dominance in our life and what sin brought to us, the destruction. There was no sickness and disease in the earth before sin. They didn't have none of that. The curse didn't exist. There was no curse. It all came with sin. All the evil that we live with in the earth here. And the church, they think, well, we just have to put up with it. 1 Peter 2:24 speaks of Christ. As Peter said, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. What did he do? He bore our sins. If he bore them, then you're supposed to bear them? No. So that we, having died to sins, are you dead to sin or alive? If we're just going to sin, I just want to tell you this. If you're just going to sin, then you're not dead to sin. He said, we died to sin. You start getting an in revelation that you're dead to sin, it'll revolutionize your life. It changed my life when I found out sin has no right to dominate me anymore. It has no right to dominate me. I'm not just going to sin. Sin is to miss the mark with God. In other words, it's to disobey God. It's to not walk in line with Him. Is that where we are, children of disobedience? Go read what Paul says happens to the children of disobedience. I don't want to be in that camp. We're not disobedient. You know, we may miss the mark sometimes because of ignorance and things or stuff, but we ain't. Are you trying to miss the mark? Do you think it's okay if you just miss the mark? No. Why? The reason you do is because your head finally caught up with your heart. You don't want to sin. You don't want to. If our nature was just to go ahead and sin anyhow, you would have no conviction whatsoever of doing wrong. Your heart would go right along with you sinning because you're just going to sin. My conscience bothers me if I do something wrong because of the guy on the inside don't want to sin. He don't want to go there. And he says to me, you need to bring your flesh under, bud. You need to get it corrected. Because see, the nature, my real nature, the real inside of my heart is hooked to God. It's like He is. It's enthroned in heavenly places. It's a place of authority over sin, not trying to cooperate with it. Now, what is he says here in Peter, who himself bore our sins on the tree that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. Now, one of the things I never liked, now the New King James and the King James say this about that we might live for righteousness. But the Greek, Young's literal translation says this, who our sins himself did bear in his body upon the tree, that to the sins having died, to the righteousness we may live, by whose stripes we were healed. Now listen, he says, see, it isn't you might live to right. Well, maybe you'll live righteous, you know, whatever. No. Jesus Christ, look, the Bible tells us this. When you and I got born again, we became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But what is that good, is that righteousness, if you can't live it? What good is it if you're just going to sin? Righteousness does nothing. The whole point of it is God made you righteous and also God given you the ability to live righteous. That's what grace is about. Grace ain't about hiding things. It's about changing your life. You have the ability of God to overcome, not to live under it and get away with it and say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, so, you know, I'm not perfect. Let's get the bumper sticker. I'm not perfect. Yeah, you know, I make mistakes. Yeah, well, we know that. You planned on it. You put it on your bumper sticker and said, you're just going to make a mistake. And we're going to watch you because you probably won't do nothing to try to cover them either. Stupid things Christians do around, thinking the world's going to get excited. Well, what if I was in the world? Hey, I can accept Christ and live in sin. So I just keep doing the trash I'm doing. Churches are filled with people like that today. Churches in America are filled and have been told that. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ changed my life. I don't know that kind of Christianity. I have no concept of that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The grace of God. Why? So now you can live righteous. Then he says what? By his stripes you were healed. Now I've always heard him say, he's talking about spiritual healing. He's not talking about. If what you get spiritually doesn't affect your physical life, it is worthless. I don't care what God wants to give me and looking at me and saying, you know, I'll give you all this for the life to come. I want to know what I got here now, because here's where the battle is. There's no battles over there. There's no devils in heaven to come against you. My authority, you know, who's going to rebel against authority in heaven? There's nothing to rebel against. It's about here. It's about now in this place. He said, by his stripes you were healed. What do you think Jesus' healing ministry? Do you think, well, once you get saved, throw the healing switch off. We don't need that no more. Dear Lord, look at our world today. We don't need healing. We don't need healing. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be ugly to ministers, but I tell you, they're saying a lot of dumb stuff, and they've been saying it so many years, it's hard to get across to people the truth. He said, by his stripes, you were healed. Now, Peter said that. Peter wrote that. Now, Peter's thing came from Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, in verse 4, now, in the King James and also in the New King James, here's what they say it says. It says, verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes by his stripes we are healed. Speaking concerning, Peter made the steps in, by his stripes you were healed. Here he makes that statement. Here he says we are healed. In other words, he is speaking of the completion of what Jesus is going to do, sets into place what Peter said, and Peter says, now speaks of it in the present tense, where this is spoken in the future tense. But I want you to see something. Because again, if you look over into the Greek and the Hebrew and what this was written in, was written in Hebrew. If you look at the Hebrew writing itself, the Hebrew writing says this, which is correct. Because I just want to tell you, King James and New King James and that, they're wrong. They are absolutely wrong. In fact, you can't find a literal translation that says what they say. Here's what it says. Surely our sicknesses he hath borne. The word is sickness. It wasn't griefs. The word sicknesses he hath borne. And our pains he hath carried them, and we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God and afflicted. And he is pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is on him, and by his bruise there is healing to us. Now, I want you to think about this. The Bible says by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. If what they wrote in here about Isaiah is true, then Peter is talking wrong. How did Peter come up? Because I want you to see this. Matthew talks in line with Peter. Matthew in 8 and verse 16 says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits and with a word and healed them all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Does it say just sin and that's it? See, people believe in the bearing of sin, but they don't believe that Jesus bore our sickness. People get sick and are trying to get Jesus to take it from them. And he already set healing in motion. Just like, we don't have to ask Jesus. No, the church don't come to Jesus to ask Jesus to save them. He already forgave everybody's sin. What the Lord showed me back many years ago, a really the disturbing thing is when people go to hell and find out that their sins were forgiven. Jesus took everybody's sin now. He's not going to. He bore everyone's sin already. He's not going to bear your sin the day you decide to get born again. In fact, when the Apostle Paul tells us how to get saved, he don't tell it. There's no forgiveness of sin. He tells you, you got to believe you know Jesus Lord, God raised him from the dead and confess that. That's what he tells us. We confess Christ to get saved, not sin. Now, 1 John 1:9, that is not for the sinner, that's for the saint. Once we become Christians, when you miss it, you confess it. That's for us to do that. It's not because if we don't do it, we aren't saved. It's so we don't break fellowship. Sin will cause you to pull away from God. Get it fixed right away. The devil will say, oh, you rotten thing, if you were any good thing good, you'd have never done that. Say, yeah, if I would have done God, I wouldn't have done that, but I messed it. But I can go to God, I can come boldly to the throne of grace and to receive mercy, to find grace to help in time of need. That's what you do immediately, or the devil will keep you away from God. He'll just keep pushing you back, telling you things. Instead of you walking toward Him, you'll move away from Him. This is the whole thing. God doesn't want sin to keep and break fellowship. No Christian who lives in sin constantly is in fellowship with God. That is the biggest lie on the face of the earth. No minister can be a pervert. You can't be a homosexual or something like that and in fellowship with God. Or the Bible's a downright lie. He can't be a fornicator. He can't be an adulterer. You can't live in that stuff and do that stuff and be in fellowship with God. I'm talking about fellowship. I'll tell you, see, I want to walk with God. You know, anybody can live in sin and give book reports on the Bible. I'm talking walking in fellowship with God and have the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for us, to give us victory. He brought healing to the church. Listen, this is Paul again in Romans 8:11, familiar scripture, talking about the Holy Spirit. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, in other words, he's saying, but, in other words, the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the power, you know, Christians are always looking for power. You got this, you got resurrection power in you right now. See, most people say, well, I want to feel it. It would be good if you believed it first. Because you know what? You believe it because you feel it, then you won't believe it if you don't feel it. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The church wasn't just raised from the dead. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in the believer. Each believer has resurrection power in them. It's not something we're going to try to get. That's why Paul said, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. I want to know about this resurrection that's in me. I want to know about this power that's in me. Why? What does that power do? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Is your body mortal? You know what mortal means? Death doomed. It says this, the Holy Spirit was put in you for this purpose, is to give life to the mortal body. While you're living in this earth, while you're here in this place, while you're here walking down here, you have the life of God, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit to help your mortal body, giving life to this death doom thing. God wants to get into the care. He wants to be your primary physician. Did you know that? If I go to something, they always ask me, says, you know, who's your family doctor? And I always look up and say, I know what they're talking about. I say, I ain't got one. What you want, I ain't got. See, if you don't have one, you'll probably die, you know. You have to have somebody that we can, you know, put on the list for you. It may never work or he'll ever do anything for you, but if the name's on a list, it makes us all feel better. I want you to tell you, I have an in-home physician. He lives in me. I'm not trying to get God to heal me. I quit that back when I was a baby Christian because by His stripes I was healed. Why would I be trying to get Him to do what He did? I'm not trying to get God to forgive me of my sins so I can be saved. I didn't try to do that. I don't have to try to do that. He already took my sins for me. Why would I be asking Him like He hadn't? The church has been preached into unbelief. We haven't been preached throne Christians. We're cross Christians. We're full of death. The cross is the place of sin and death. The cross is the place of sin and death. That's where our shame was carried to. And the church just lives in the shame and calls it humility, calls it all kinds of stuff. The low rat, no good thing you were. I want to tell you, the low rat, no good thing that you were is dead and gone, and Jesus don't remember it. Why do we keep dragging it back up? Why do we keep going around carrying this dead weight body, dragging death along with us and loving it and calling it Christianity? You died and your life has been hidden in God. You died, your life has been hidden in God. You think there's any death in Him? The symbol of the church should be a resurrection. It should be a picture of an empty tomb, a glorified Jesus Christ. No, let's kill Him again. Let's keep death in the forefront. 99% of the church will glorify the cross over these holidays. The cross gets the glory. Go read what Paul said about. He said, if Jesus wasn't resurrected from the dead, you're still in your sins. You didn't see. You know, we have the song today, really, it was incorrect. They said that the cause was finished when He died. No, it wasn't. It wasn't finished for you and me till He rose from the dead. And if He wasn't rose from the dead, you're still in your sin. Paul said so. Scripture says so. He won the victory and He was raised. But till He went into the holies of holies of heaven with His blood, till that took place, all men were still in their sin and His death did nothing. The price had to be paid. When the price was paid and we believed on Him, hallelujah, the resurrection won us the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're the glorious church. See, the Lord kept dealing with me this preaching this week, and I'll tell you what, you know, I know I'm preaching the choir, but glory to God, we need to get so strong in this stuff and become rebellious to this other teaching. It's throwing this stuff out and refusing this other junk that just has a dead Christianity. This death Christianity. Thank God Jesus went to the cross. He did all that suffering so I don't have to suffer. My job is to live in His victory. That's my job in the earth. My job is not to drag the cross around. The cross is to show to the sinner. The cross is to show to the sinner. And the saints live in it. And they wonder why they have no victory. Hallelujah. Victory because of what He already accomplished victory over sin. So we're not trying to get victory over sin anymore. He already bore our sicknesses. Let's start living like He bore our sicknesses and saying, well, you're just going to get sick. Well, if you're just going to get sick, then you're just going to sin too. So you might as well carry them both. Good preaching, folks. It's good preaching. We need to get ourselves over to the thing of the victory. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Quit trying to get what you got. Hallelujah. Start talking like you have the mind of Christ. You do. The Holy Ghost lives in you. The mind of Christ is a living person that you communicate with, that you get to talk to. He can take anything. Anything of God He can reveal to you. Anything. You got it. You say, well, I'm not too bright. I don't give a how bright I am. I got the smart guy living in me. I don't have to know everything. But what I need to know, He'll give it to me. Glory to God. That's the genius in me. I'm not trying to be the genius. It's recognizing the genius in me. Hallelujah. And the church is over here working and trying to, oh, all this stuff, labor and rule and all this kind of stuff, instead of receiving what the Scripture says we have. It never said you're supposed to try to get the mind of Christ. Never told you to. It said you have it. Glory to God. I have the Holy Spirit in me, but I don't know who He is. I never contact Him. We don't talk to each other. He's just a hitchhiker, you know. He's just down here hitchhiking around inside of me. Glory to God, I ain't got no hitchhiker in me. God moved in me because He likes me. He likes you. He thinks you're wonderful. You need to come in contact with that. You need to come in contact with the wisdom of God. It's already inside of you. You're not trying. You got the teacher. If the Holy Ghost can't teach you, ain't nobody ever teach you. You ain't got a chance. You ain't got a prayer. And you got the teacher. The one that takes everything that Jesus has, His job in you is to take whatever Jesus out of Jesus has and reveal it to you. That's His job. Do you think He's a flunky? Do you think he's been holding back? What has held him back is the preaching of the church. The preaching of the church has held him back. It's like we're trying to get this stuff. We're not trying to get it. We have it. Let's embrace what we got. Embrace what... See, you're going to... Most people... Here's the thanksgiving of 99% of Christians. When something shows up, oh, thank you, Lord. There's no faith in that. That's what the world does. It's when you're thanking God and it don't look like you have it. But the Scripture says it belongs to me, so I got it. I don't care what anybody says. I have the mind of Christ. I don't care if I can't get the right thought about what I need to. I am not going to say I don't have the mind of Christ. I am not going to disobey the word of God and get into disobedience to make religious people happy. I have the mind of Christ. And I will tell you this, when the time comes that I need that wisdom, it will come to me. Never fails, it comes to me. Hallelujah. You know, wisdom of God this week, and I say it was quite unique. Some things that happened this week through the spirit of prophecy by praying. I've had this over the years many times, but not quite as fluent as it happened this time. I'll get over praying and get the spirit of prophecy comes on me, and I pray sometimes under the spirit of prophecy. And, you know, you get over there and scriptures and things start flowing out of you. You don't know. See, this is you don't operate out of your mind in this stuff. It isn't stuff I sit and think about praying. Stuff starts to flow. Stuff coming out of me. Why? It's the Holy Ghost in you working, doing stuff. You know, I recognize the fact that it ain't my genius. All I do is, God, you want to say something? Go ahead. I'll let you use my voice today. Would you like to? You don't know how God like to get a hold of some of you people's voices. If he could do that in a prayer life, it'd change your prayer life. You just keep praying your ideas. Well, I got over there and praying under this, and all of a sudden this thing changed. And I began to prophesy the end of the church age into the return of Jesus Christ, which was quite unique because over the years I've studied this stuff. It was completely in line scripturally about things through the tribulation and what was going to happen. This thing just kept flowing. The tribulation and the tribulation period, it was just like an overview that's come out of me of the tribulation, then the return of Jesus Christ and the setting up his kingdom for the millennial reign. And it just flowed out of me and it went on and on and on. And I'm just going, this thing just pouring out of me. You see, folks, these things are important because God needs to get his word out into the earth. God can't do anything he can't get people to say. You know, God didn't have the prophets just speak so you could hear some words. It is getting words said in the earth. When a man speaks or a woman speaks by the Spirit of God, we open up in giving God permission to begin to do things in the earth. That's how we do it. Our authority. Faith is what Jesus said about faith. You say unto this mountain, be thou removed. You believe things in your heart and you say them with your mouth. We operate in our authority through what we say. See, nobody can get born again. It says, lest somebody preaches. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. We speak to set things in order. There's things in the realm of the Spirit. That's why you got to let the Holy Ghost sometimes pray through you, because the Holy Ghost will start speaking. It'll change things in the spirit realm, not just in the natural realm as you see it or your problems. Things need to be, I'll tell you what, when you get over, and I can tell, when I get over speaking, there'll be a boldness come on me and I'll start to say things, and I know this, the devil don't like this. These words are coming out because it's affecting his kingdom. We want to have a prayer life that affects his kingdom, does something to his, and glorifies God's. The church is nothing but a bunch of problem players. Instead of taking authority and changing the earth, we go to God and complain about what's going on in the earth. I want to tell you what. What do you want this earth to be? See, I looked into the Bible. I want to know not Ed's version. I want to know God's version. And when I find God's version, I start to say, Lord, this is what you said. This is what I expect to start happening in this earth. I start using my authority. God, you said this. Now, I expect this to start happening in there. These last days, what do you expect? See, I expect a glorious church. I expect a people to rise up so glorious in these last days. And I say, God, if we're just going to have what we got now, Lord, I don't even want to be here. Let's go home. I talk to him like I tell. If we're not going to have a glorious end to this thing, if we're going to be these doomsday people and we're just going to all try to go hide under a rock somewhere, take your bucket of food you got from Jim Baker and go crawl in someplace, and then we're going to go hide, you know, put bulletproof glass in your house. I'm sorry, they got guns that'll blow holes in your bulletproof glass. You know, he's ignorant, angry. Oh, we're just going to go. I ain't going to hide. I'm going to live out in the devil's face. I'm living out. I'm a prophet of God. We don't hide. We don't hide. I'm going to tell you what, the devil is going to start hiding. He's going to start hiding because there's people going to step up. There are people going to step up and stand out in their place. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, you can pray all you want for your relatives and all this kind of stuff. We need a glorious church more than we need a lot of the weenie prayer life that's going on, because it'll change everything. We need the glory of God, not just some nice little prayers. We need the glory of God in manifestation in this earth. Hallelujah. We need demonstrations of the Holy Ghost in power. Hallelujah. That's what I'm after. Hallelujah. I want to be anointed like a maniac. I don't want to be some sweet preacher in these last days. I don't want to be this cute little guy stands up here and says, I really feel sorry for you. No, I'll cast the devil out of you and get you straightened out here. Hallelujah. Let's get delivered. Let's get healed. We ain't going to have to whine to God about it. We don't have to. He wants you well more than you want well. He wants you delivered. Hallelujah. We're not trying to get delivered. He's on your side. He's on yours. He's working for you. You know, we sing about working for. He's working. Is he working for us? Well, maybe he wants me dead for a reason. Well, I better know what the reason is. If I don't know what the reason is, it's pretty stupid. You know, the Bible says God don't do anything in the earth that he don't tell his prophets. The church has lied about this stuff all the time. God doing things and we don't know about them. God don't do nothing in the earth without telling his prophets. He don't do nothing. I done read the Bible. I don't believe this religious junk people say, because it lies about God. And you don't lie about my God. You can call me any name you want. Some of it could be true. But you don't throw it at my God. He's not a liar. He's not hiding. He wants to get in the open more than we want him to be in the open. He wants to be an open display, and he will be. We're going to allow him to. We're going to allow him to be open display. We're going to believe that's what he wants to do. Hallelujah. We're not backing. I tell you, Jesus came out of that grave. One day I got smart enough to accept him and come out of my grave. Hallelujah. And no religious person is putting Ed Gibson back in the grave again. Hallelujah. And he ain't going to put you back in the grave again. Hallelujah. You're out of the grave. You have the life of God. You're not trying to get it. You got it. You're a child of God today. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you today, teaching you, making you alive. Hallelujah. Working mightily in you. That's what the scripture says. Hallelujah. It has to be true. I don't care what it seems like we see. I refuse to let what I see move me. Hallelujah. I'm only moved by the word of God. I'm going to be like Smith Wigglesworth. Look what it did for him. Hallelujah. He wasn't special. No, none of us are special. Me standing in the office of a prophet ain't nothing special. What's special is our God. And he does the same for one as the other. He's not a respecter of person. His glory is for all. Glory to God. Stand to your feet before I take a running spell here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't know about you. Man, somebody threw fire on me today. I tell you, I just, glory to God, got the can of gas and lit it. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I want you to know something the Lord told me to tell you today. We're going to take communion. And the communion that we're taking is a representation of what I preached. That's what that communion's about. That communion ain't about some little old, let's bury Jesus again and try to drag him out of the ground. It's we're one with that Jesus. We're partakers in our mouth with his blood and with his body. We're one with him. Hallelujah. They didn't do that. When the Jews sat down and went through their thing, it was about Jesus passing over your sins. Hallelujah. He didn't pass over your sins. Hallelujah. He came along. He raised you above all sin. Hallelujah. Set you on high, enthroned you in heaven, gave you the Holy Ghost. You're sitting here in the earth, and I'm going to tell you, you're a keg of dynamite ready to blow up. Glory to God. That's what our communion's about. Our communion's about what He did for us. Hallelujah. Sin shall not rule over us. If sin can't rule over you, then the devil can't rule over you. He's the author of it. Hallelujah. And he will not rule over you. You're the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father. Oh, my God. Father, I just thank you so much for Jesus. Oh, my. Oh, what a Savior, what a Lord. Oh, you're so glorious, Jesus. You're just so incredible. Oh, Jesus, open up our little minds to understand and comprehend these things. Lord God, that these thoughts and these glorious thoughts just overtake us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we walk in this place of glory, Lord God. Not something we enter once in a while, but Lord, in these last days, I know this. I know this by the Spirit. We will walk in this place. This will be our daily walk in this glory, in this place daily. Hallelujah. It will not come and go and wane as it did in the past, but it shall be a place that the church of Jesus Christ will walk in. And they will walk in this glory. This will be their breath and their life. They will walk along in this glory, and the glory of God will be upon His church, and it will be seen by the eye of those who don't believe, and they will know, and they will tremble, hallelujah, at the presence of God that's upon His people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we don't take any credit for any of this stuff. Jesus, this is because of your great work. And Jesus, as we come to this communion table, Jesus, we're totally honoring you because, Lord, we have done nothing to save ourselves. We've done nothing to deliver us. We didn't do anything that we would have earned the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us. We have earned none of these things. Lord Jesus, we know there's no way that a price we could have paid or any good works that we would have done. We look at Jesus, this is 100% of what you did working in us. And I want to thank you as we take this communion, Lord God. We take it under His honor to Jesus Christ. And we declare that the good work that He started in us, He is going to bring it to completion. That His glory that He had revealed, that same glory is going to continue in us. And it will complete us. We're not going to fail. We're not going under in these last days. Lord God, Satan isn't going to take these people and turn them into something else. He will not. They will walk in the glory of God in these last days. They will fulfill the will of God for their lives. And God's glory will be shown in them and through them. In the name of Jesus, because these people are the glorious church. Hallelujah. And I thank you all over the world. You're raising up a glorious church, a church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. You're raising one up. Hallelujah. And we're reminded of that today through our communion with Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.